The way this dance played out saved USA Today the price of a plane ticket for this round. Our guests will be in Oklahoma City, a really interesting quartet of games. Follow his work, usatoday.com. Become a follower on Twitter, at George Schroeder. We welcome in George Schroeder. George, a happy eve of the tournament to you. How's it going?
It's good, man. How are you?
All right. A lot of good stuff happening. Love this time of year. Now, in 2009, when the tournament was in Portland, that was the first time I had ever been in person. And, man, I was overwhelmed because as sports fans, you go to a game. It's usually home, away, two teams, mostly one set of fans. But that first day where you get eight teams, eight sets of fans, eight bands, eight pep clubs. You've seen a lot of great stuff, especially in college. I mean, how electrifying or how unique is that one day?
It's pretty unique. It's kind of fun. And you know, some places you can get where certain fan bases can't get to. Like, let's say, you know, out in Spokane, you know, if you should get some team that you shipped across from the east, it's tough to get there, especially given the fact that tickets have to be bought on such short notice and that kind of thing. So what you end up with is sort of the team's official party, the cheerleaders, and usually the band. Even so, what I think is pretty cool in most places is when, all right, just the same way you find yourself rooting for an underdog as you watch it on TV, all the other fan bases in the arena, with the exception of the favored team that's playing, will suddenly start glomming on if there's any excitement to be had with an underdog, and they'll get really excited all of a sudden. The next thing you know, it's a 4 or 5 to 1 crowd. You know, they're all sort of ganging up on the favorite team. That is a fun thing, unless of course you're the favorite team who's struggling. But that's a fun thing to watch as a sort of a neutral observer, or if you're a fan and your team's playing later and you know you're already in the arena or something like that. That's kind of fun to participate in.
The opener in your region, Oregon State, VCU, 7 versus 10. I mean, you get VCU year one without Shaka Smart. And, of course, you spent many years here when Oregon State in basketball was just not a viable threat. How incredible of an accomplishment is it, year two under Wayne Tinkle, that they end that 26-year drought in Corvallis?
Yeah, given how down the program had been, you know, in the last few years of Jay John, and Craig Robinson couldn't get it going. He got it, you know, got it to a certain plateau, and then they kind of slid back a little bit. They were never close to the NCAA tournament. It is a big time, it's been a big time accomplishment so far for Tinkle. I mean, it is. But let me just say this: this is the way it ought to be. That what's weird is going 25 or 26 years, whatever it is, between the NCAA tournament appearances, or being Northwestern that somehow never has made it. That's what's weird, especially in the era of, you know, 68 teams and that kind of thing. But this is the way it ought to be. And what's cool about Oregon State is it is, you know, obviously the tradition was long, long ago now, but there's rich tradition in the tournament, and it's good to see them back in it. And I, you know, I like them against VCU. Obviously, the seeds do too, 7 versus 10, but I like them against VCU. The one thing I would caution people about is this. There is something to the having been there before thing when it comes to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, it's easy to sort of not be ready. This, you know, in VCU, obviously, the program itself, I haven't studied their roster, but the program itself is kind of used to being in the NCAA tournament now after all those years under first Anthony Grant and then Shaka Smart. So, but I like Oregon State to win, and then I think they'll play Oklahoma in the second round.
I mentioned Shaka Smart. Obviously, now he is in Texas. Year one, he had a bad loss to TCU, beat North Carolina, and they also have wins against 5 of the other 6 Big 12 teams in. And with Smart, you know about the defense. They may have their big guy Cam Ridley back. Year one, Shaka Smart in Texas. How did that go? And is it me, or is this kind of a tough team to figure?
Yeah, it is. First of all, Ridley did play a little bit in the Big 12 tournament. Didn't play long, didn't play exceptionally well, but just getting him back from that foot injury is a big deal. And, you know, you think maybe he shook a little rust off and might be better with a week's more time. It's been a good year for Texas. You know, they had slid as a program in the last few years under Rick Barnes. You know, at one point they were an Elite Eight type of threat many years in a row. I'm not saying they got there. They were just that kind of program you could see getting there many years, and they had slid from that. And Shaka's done a nice job with a team that's largely inherited, full of upperclassmen. You know, it's not necessarily the way his team's makeup will be down the road, but he's done a real nice job with this team, and they've bought into what he's, you know, what he's selling. I do think, though, the very last thing you said is about it being hard to figure. Here's what I wonder. I wonder if they hit a wall late in the season because, you know, they had the high of beating Oklahoma at home, but then they followed up on senior night by getting blown out at home by Kansas. Beat Oklahoma State on the road, but that's no biggie this year, frankly.
Right.
You know, the Big 12 is a tough league, but the bottom three teams aren't very good, and Oklahoma State was one of those. And then, you know, didn't play well at all in the tournament. You know, just got rolled by Baylor. Maybe you could say it's a bad matchup for them because Baylor had gotten a pretty good at home earlier, but they're limping into the NCAA tournament, and you just kind of have to wonder if maybe they've hit a wall.
Texas A&M ends up with a 3 seed, and they'll square off against the Phoenix of Green Bay. Aggies were 17-2, lost 5 of 6, won 8 of 9. They only actually advanced once since 1980, back in 07, but they do have 26 wins, a couple of good shooters. A&M from a down SEC. Are they another one of these teams, which I think there are probably so many, that are in danger of a quick exit, or for all we know, they'll make a big run?
Well, first, let's go with the way you say a down SEC makes it sound like they're usually up. The trend is that the SEC doesn't put very many teams in, and they don't do much if they're not named Kentucky, and I think that continued. So it's hard to know what to make of A&M because they have played very well for part of the year. Then they did have that alarming slide, and then they kind of righted the ship. But it was in the SEC. Both the slide and righting the ship were in the SEC, and it's hard to know because that is clearly not a murderer's row schedule compared to what some of the other, compared to the Big 12 or the Pac-12 or even the upper echelon of the ACC or the Big 10 this year. The SEC is, you know, it wasn't the fifth best league. It was behind some of the, you know, some of those smaller basketball leagues. Well behind them, and so it's hard to know what to make of A&M. I mean, you look at them, you think they've got a lot of pieces. They could make a run, and yet I'm gonna have to be shown it because I'm not a fan of what the SEC basketball caliber of play was in night in, night out.
We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Oklahoma, I think, got a good draw. Player of the Year, Buddy Hield. I know you're familiar with them. They're playing a program in Cal Bakersfield, who's never been here. Lon Kruger knows this event pretty well. Any concern about a team who relies on shooting, or because they've got a player like Hield and such great guard play, will that counter that?
Well, I think the first round will be fine. The one thing I would say is Bakersfield wants to slow it down, and Oklahoma wants to run. Typically, the team that wants to slow it down succeeds. But I'm not sure Bakersfield can handle the overall talent and depth that Oklahoma has. You know, so I think they'll advance past the first round. Obviously, twos have occasionally been upset by 15s. We've never seen a 116 upset, but twos have occasionally been upset by 15s. I don't think this is the one that's going to happen. I will say this, Buddy Hield, you know, he's going to split probably the Player of the Year awards with Denzel Valentine of Michigan State. And he's really, really good. He's got guys around him that can play, and they can really shoot lights out from the three. But they haven't played as well over the last month or so as they did, you know, through the middle of the season when they were really, really playing well and they kind of owned the number one ranking for several weeks. They haven't been as good, and that's evidenced by sort of the slide from the one line to the two line there when it actually came time to really, you know, do the tournament bracket for real, and it wasn't just bracket colleges. So, you know, I don't know what to make of this team. They're going to have to play better than they played. Now, it will help them to not be playing Big 12 teams. I mean, there's something to the deal where everybody knows everybody. And by the way, it's also a pretty good league with a bunch of good teams. As we've seen, they've got 7 of their 10 in the tournament. There's something
right.
Said that getting outside there against other teams is going to help them. I get that. But I'm a bit concerned that Oklahoma played its best ball in you know, from January up into early February, and maybe they, you know, maybe they peak too early. That may not be the case. Sometimes the tournament turns into a rejuvenation time, but it's something to be to look at as they start.
All right, let's go to the actual regions. The Midwest, Virginia is the one. A lot of people thought by winning the Big Ten tournament, Michigan would be the one. You've got Gonzaga and Syracuse, double-digit seeds who draw attention. You know, whether you want to tell me who you like to win the bracket or a team or two or a surprise, when you're thinking about the Midwest right now, what's on your mind?
I think Michigan State, with just enough of a sort of a chip on the shoulder from not being a one. I mean, I think it was a very defensible pick to have Oregon as that one rather than Michigan State. But I think the Spartans will have a chip on their shoulder, and I think they're a tremendously bad matchup for Virginia if they were to get that far to the regional final, if both teams were to. And so I like Michigan State to come out of there. I mean, the one thing I would say is, and a lot of people are excited about Seton Hall. I think it's a nice, solid team with good guard play. I kind of think Gonzaga, the 11th seed against 6th seed at Seton Hall, the Zags, the one thing they don't have, and they've lost from last year, they're not nearly as good at guard. But, man, with Sabonis and especially Kyle Wiltshire stretching people out at the four, you know, 7 feet tall and can play outside-inside game, I like those guys. If they can just get some decent play from their guards, I like them to maybe pull an upset, and who knows what happens in the second round. So, you know, I haven't studied the Midwest. I mean, I think ultimately it's probably, it maybe is Michigan State would be, that'd be a place where I might say they would upset the one. But and would you really call it an upset? But just in the early rounds, I'm kind of thinking to myself, which, listen, this anything I tell you means run far, run fast, and pick your bracket based on fierce mascots or something like that, and you'll do better. But or maybe colors you like. But I kind of like Gonzaga, at least in the first round. And then, you know, if they were to hit Utah at the right time, see what happens there, because they could match up size-wise potentially.
Kansas is the consensus number one. Interesting team, five guys who hit better than 40%. But with Kansas, it seems like they either make the Final Four or Ali Farouk Manish in Northern Iowa beat them. That's a very interesting bracket. Nova, Arizona, Maryland, Wichita State. Kind of cutthroat. What are you looking at there?
Well, I think Kansas is the best team in the bracket. I don't know if they're the most talented team in the tournament. They certainly deserve the number one overall seed just based on what they did and how they came on strong during the end of the season. Basically, corresponding with we were talking about Oklahoma sort of sliding a little bit and going with 4-5 down the stretch, Kansas all of a sudden just put it together and looked like a much better team than they had looked, even in that 3-overtime win over Oklahoma in early January that everybody watched and thought, wow, that was a two great teams thing. I think it was, but I think Kansas is a much better team now than it was then. This is an odd team in that, you know, there's not that guy or two guys that you think we're going to see them playing on an 82-game schedule and starting and starring that Bill Self has had several different times in his career. You know, you don't really see that. I'm not saying they don't have guys that are going to play in the NBA. You just don't see the surefire guys, at least not among the upperclassmen. And you know, I like them to get out of the region. I think they're the best team, and I don't think it's close, frankly. I mean, Villanova to me, and maybe this is colored by the fact that Villanova got rolled out of the gym by Oklahoma in December or whatever it was. But Villanova to me is a two seed that's a nice team, but I'm not sure that some of the record wasn't built on inferior competition, frankly. I like KU to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, me too. That's and as they hear that, they shudder in their shoes. North Carolina won the ACC tournament. I don't know how much the story changes with them in recent years. Athletes transition, but not very good from outside. Xavier scores a bunch of points. You know, Bob Huggins throws the pressure out there with West Virginia. I'm actually kind of leaning Kentucky with those guards. This is an awesome bracket. What are your thoughts on the North Carolina bracket?
Maybe the toughest bracket. I mean, some people would say the South by the seed. But I think the East bracket is very tough. That said, I think North Carolina finally started playing the way you thought, or sort of up to their what we thought their talent was near the end of the year. And so I think I really like those guys coming out of it. You're right about Kentucky, too, and it's March, and, you know, Calipari's got another team that's playing well at the right time of year. And I guess we'll see. That said, and this is different for Kentucky than it was for Texas A&M, but you have to remember that a lot of what they've been doing and how they've been looking really good has been built on that inferior competition they're facing night in and night out in the SEC. And that can't be – that doesn't mean that they're not really, really good, but it does mean we won't really know until we see them run into some tournament-tough teams here in the next, you know, couple of weeks. But nobody should be surprised if Kentucky makes it to the Elite Eight, for sure, and bumps into North Carolina. We'll see what happens. Could be a fun game.
All right. Obviously, I mentioned you're watching the West live and in living color. Probably, as you could presume, a lot of interest in that bracket out here. A lot of people calling it the stunning development. A lot of folks I hear nationally calling it the weakest bracket, which it's all very easy to make these kind of predictions on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But how do you see things shaping up in Oklahoma City, Providence, and Spokane?
Well, you know, the one thing I find interesting is, and I'm going to write about this tomorrow, it's just sort of an odd note, is since they went to the pod system where you know, you can play these regionals all over the place and then feed them into Anaheim, even though you were in, you know, Raleigh or somewhere like that in the first two rounds, it's a little bit odd that you have an entire half of a region bracket playing in the same city in the first weekend. It's a little bit odd. So that bottom half of the bracket, the two seed end of the bracket, the Oklahoma end of it, is all in Oklahoma City. And so I don't know that that's an advantage, but it does mean that you get in-person scouting of teams you'll play the next week.
Oh, right.
Round, which is kind of interesting because it doesn't happen that way anymore. It used to happen that way, but it hasn't since they went to the pod system. So I find that interesting. Do I think it's an easy bracket? Let me put it this way. If I were Oregon or Oklahoma, I would like my chances. Either way, as opposed to if I had been the one or the two seed in a different bracket. So does that make it an easy bracket? I don't think so. But, I mean, I think if you're a Duck or a Sooner, the one or the two, you have to think to yourself, the path to the Final Four is right there if we just play well. And I think that's true for either. I mean, you can look at some named teams. I mean, Duke is obviously in the bracket. This is not a vintage Duke team. I mean, I think Oregon has a chance to, you know, people sort of raise their eyebrows, and they shouldn't have, when they saw Oregon pop up as a one. That just means they weren't watching them rip through the Pac-12, frankly. And it wasn't a great Pac-12, but it was a good Pac-12 this year. People think because Arizona's down that the league must not be very good, and that's not true. There was a bunch of good teams. There just maybe wasn't a great team, but Oregon was sort of trending that direction at the end of the year. I think they've got a chance to really open some eyes in this tournament. And I think maybe you look ahead to Anaheim in a Sweet 16 round, playing probably a Duke, although Baylor could give Duke trouble if they're shooting well. And I think Oregon would be a fun matchup and would beat Duke. I think that would be tons of fun. And, you know, if you just don't let yourself get beat by the name, then, you know, I don't know if I've answered your question. I think we're headed for an Oregon-Oklahoma showdown. Maybe A&M beats Oklahoma. But I think we're headed for an Oregon-Oklahoma showdown to go to the Final Four.
And that would be a lot of fun. All right. Hey, George, we look forward to what you're going to be posting for USATodday.com. Great info and insight, as always. I would say enjoy it, but that seems like a lock. So travel safe, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say next week.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, man.
All right. Take it easy.